National Revolution. Pastor Jerry Bader in for Mark Becker. We are talking with Brian Briscoe, friend, founder of Parents Living After Child Estrangement. Those of us, and that includes my wife Ramona and me, have had an adult child estranged. And Brian, in 2022, after that happened in his family, founded Place, Parents Living After Child Estrangement. And through his mentorship, his tutelage, we have started a peer support group at Samaritan's Heart Mission Church, Parents Empowered After Child Estrangement, or PEACE. And let's pick up, Brian, with the some of the 12 principles. We won't get through all of them, but we do not indulge in denial. Denial of what? Explain that.
Both ways. Denial of our part in this. We don't indulge in denial of their part in this. One of our early criticisms was that we are an echo chamber and that we do nothing but deny. And I've got to say, I know this is anecdotal, but you know, hundreds, if not thousands of people have been through our groups. If anything, it's the opposite. People come in taking perhaps far more blame than is necessary, than is accurate. You know, again, we got mothers and fathers saying, this happened, it must be me. I'm uncertain, but I must be the epicenter of what caused this. And we frequently see this progression where they start off saying that, and then as they process this through a number of weeks and get input from their peers, they say, well, it's really not that simple. And, you know, for me to have such power and sway over somebody, that doesn't withstand much scrutiny. You know, the times I've wanted to influence them and tried, well, that failed. So they really worry themselves perhaps a bit too much about that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. And that, if I can just put a word in your mouth, that somewhat self-condemnation. What we noticed in the first session, Brian, is I told people, you know, we saw every emotion: shame, guilt, anger, resentment, confusion. Shame was big. Shame, you know, and again, those who had never spoken of this aloud, you know, that speaks to that shame. And once the spigot opened, Brian, and that's where I was not too quick to cut people off, is they just needed to talk about it. If someone listening to this is like, wow, you know, this happened to me and I didn't know that there was something like this, you know, they're going to, that will be encouraging. But if they hear that, yeah, I'm engulfed in that shame, why wouldn't I feel shame? The only way to get an F in parenting is for your child to estrange from you. How do you have specific approaches to dealing with people's shame in this particular topic?
Absolutely. And this comes out of my profession, counseling. You know, if somebody has that negative thought, I'm a failure as a parent or what have you, all right? Remember that shame is feeling bad about what you are. Guilt is feeling badly about what you've done. We certainly get quite a mix of both. But if somebody is saying, I'm a failure as a parent, well, okay, that's a horrible thing. Let's take those thoughts to court. What's the evidence here? Mm. Across your lifespan, across your social connections, across everything that you know, everything you've done, what is the evidence that you're horrible at this? Now, understand, okay, we have any number of parents that I think are below the trauma threshold. I was raised by somebody who was neglectful, abusive, abandoned me. I am an estranged adult child. I don't think the parents who do that to their children show up, okay? I think we have a bunch of people on a bell curve who made normal mistakes. And the people on the bell curve who made normal mistakes, when analyzing the evidence, the data over the course of their lives, just can't make an airtight argument that they are this sort of failure. Mistakes? Yes, but mistakes that rise to the level of we're never talking again, I'm not so sure about that. I think in some instances, it's an overreaction.
Refitting that perspective, how important is that to beginning the healing process?
Oh, it's crucial because, you know, this wonderful neuroplasticity in our brains, the things we think repeatedly reinforce themselves and they effectively become ruts. And when you train yourself to catch this thought and counter it with evidence or counter it with another tool, you can pull out of that rut, and that begins that healing process. And it's slow. It's like steering a barge. You know, you ended up going this direction slowly and methodically, and the business of changing it takes work. That's the work of counseling.
And so I kind of skipped over one, and I probably shouldn't have, and we'll double back. We do not dwell in the past. Everything you just talked about, Brian, I spent the first 2 years racking my brain. What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? As a pastor, this is something that I deal with in counseling people. If for me, it's a spiritual thing. If you say you have made this decision in your life concerning Christ, you shouldn't have to worry about the past anymore. But whether someone's done that or not, dwelling in the past is never a good idea because we can't change it. But I didn't just dwell in the past. I was an archaeologist of myself. I went and dug into the past. Talk about that.
Well, we call this ambiguous grief. Like, I lost my father a couple of years ago, and I'm certain that at least, you know, in this lifetime, I won't see him again. My father is gone, whereas I have an estranged adult child who's out there. There's this ambiguity of not knowing whether or not we will ever reunite. But that's not the only thing about this that is ambiguous. We deal with the uncertainty. What did I do? Where's the answer? How do the dots connect? And we can make ourselves quite distressed when trying to piece that together. And it makes sense that we go there because we're also trying to learn. What was the mistake? Where did I go wrong? How do I not do this again? And there's a line. There's, you know, normal analysis and trying to figure it out and learn, but then we can cross over into being obsessed with it. And here comes, you know, the negative impact on our thinking and the difficulty that we have pulling out of that.
All right. So, Todd, we just have 1 minute left, period, right? On the show. So
that's correct.
All right. So then we need to, Brian, the website where they can find place.
It is copingplace.net.
And I encourage that. I'm sending people there that can't make our brick and mortar meeting. But if you want to try shgb.org, shgb.org. Brian Briscoe, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Thank you.
And thanks to Mark Becker for letting me do this. Bobby, yeah.